choices, shouting, and the wonders of the universe.
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for October 15th, 2018. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
How in the name of God did it get to be mid-October?
I have no idea.
Are you kidding me?
It happened very quickly, so the midterms are coming soon.
Is that your none too subtle way to let's start talking about stuff?
Yes.
All right. We know who's
getting
in charge of this
on.
Thing. Okay, midterms are coming up. I wrote in Prickly City. By the way, thanks for listening because we've been off for, what, 1 week? Two weeks?
Week.
Okay, for a week. So we're back and better than ever, maybe?
Maybe.
Spent a great time down with our kids and it was just a lovely time. So I want to get that out. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay, then. So Prickly City talked about, there's a lot of conservative commentators who have said that maybe we should, people who, like myself who generally vote Republican, maybe we should vote for Democrats this time just to teach the GOP a lesson that they're not being conservatives. And I think that means with tariffs and other issues like that. That sparked some conversation, Janine? Or
it did. Let's see. Brain Pudding said.
Brain Pudding?
Uh-huh.
I love that name.
He said, yeah, some diehard establishment types don't like Trump. Boo-hoo. I didn't like him either and didn't vote for him, but I'm supporting him now because he is courage and fights against the tyrannical political class. You want mob rule? Vote Democrat. You want freedom? Vote Republican. Then be a citizen and hold them accountable.
That's a great, you know what, I'm actually writing, it hasn't appeared yet, but it will appear shortly, on the pushback to the pushback. And it's something that, it's a fascinating development, and it hasn't happened before. Republicans were kind of wusses on a lot of issues, and you could also like throw racism and sexism at them, and they'd go, oh really? Oh man, I'm sorry. And now you don't have that. I mean, obviously there'd be instances where there is sexism and racism and they'll still push back, but for the moment it's been a very interesting change in the political discussion, political dynamic, because the Democrats and liberals for years had that and it was very effective. And now what was interesting today, I was listening to some friends at the Chicago Tribune on the editorial board who lean left of center, and they were talking about how they wish the Democrats would push back more. They're just being wusses. I'm going, man, you sound just like Republicans were talking 10 years ago. So I see the appeal of Donald Trump to some folks. I do. I see that element as being very attractive. It's not to me, but because I'd like it to be pushback that doesn't sound like a seven-year-old, but maybe that's just me. What else do we have? I'm sorry, Jane.
For what?
Kind of went off on a tangent-ish.
That's okay.
Okay.
That's what people are listening for.
Okay. The tangents?
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know how I'm from. I'm not going to pronounce this right. DelammerHurt999 said, poor little conservative Carmen. She has yet to realize that conservatism died with John McCain. Now there's Trumpism and sanity.
I just talked about that. I think there's something to be said for that. The conservative values I came to know and embrace when I was a kid and when I was a young man are gone. I don't think Reagan would fit into this Republican Party today. Much of it. You look at Reagan's position on immigration, for instance. You look at his positions again on tariffs and on free trade. George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush's view and of NAFTA and so on. By the way, they didn't change NAFTA. They changed the name. Just throwing that out there. But anyway, so there.
There.
Period. Trying to speak in complete sentences doesn't always.
So you also were talking about that it's less than a month till the midterms,
yeah.
And it's going to be all over, but the shouting.
The shouting's not going to end. That's now where they're just going to position themselves for 2020, and it's going to be a mess, and it's going to be ugly, and it's going to be horrible, and the 2020. Election is going to be, you think this one's bad, folks? Now, here's a prediction. I was asked this morning on a WAPI station in Birmingham, Alabama on the Matt and Nani show. And they asked my prediction. I'm going to make my prediction now for the midterms. I'm going to stick to it, okay? So you hold my feet to the fire, right?
All right. All right. I remember it.
Okay. I think the Democrats are going to take the House by no more than 3 or 4 seats.
Ah.
I think it's going to be very close. And I think the Republicans are going to gain a seat or two in the Senate.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to wait and see.
Okay, so that's bum, 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 a bold prediction. Yeah, like I said, Democrats will take the House by 3 or 4 seats. We'll have Speaker Pelosi, but it'll be razor thin. So you're not going to have And
not the blue wave.
You're not going to have this massive blue wave, and I don't think you're going to have the impeachment talk or any of that other stuff because it's just they're just not going to have the numbers.
Well, Daniel M. Kimmel says, yes, if you think the wingnuts have lost it over Willie Nelson and Taylor Swift, they're going to go berserk after the midterms. To which TimBob2313 replied, so you hope. All depends on who gets the most votes. The old sayings are still true. Stop counting your chickens before they hatch.
Exactly. I mean, and guys, you know, and boy geniuses like, oh, me, who said there is no way in God's green earth that this, you know, orange guy from New York could possibly ever be the nominee for the Republican. Okay. Could never, ever win the presidency. Oh, damn it.
He's behind in the polls. No one would admit to voting for him. And that's it. You have to get people. They don't always tell the truth.
And the polls are doing roughly the same thing they did back 2 years ago, and that they're all over the place. If you go to Real Clear Politics, they do the poll amalgams. They take, for instance, the approval rating for the president. They take all the polls and they average them out. They do the same thing for hot races in different, like the Florida Senate race or the Senate race in Arizona. And that, to me, is fascinating. But if you look at each individual poll, it is all over the place. And I think that, obviously, it's because of cell phones and communicating with not just potential voters, but actual voters. And by the way, you know, if anyone thinks that the Trump wing of the Republican Party is going to stay home for any election, they don't. They're angry, they watch Fox News, and they vote.
Right.
Always count on that. 5 million fewer Democrats voted in 2016 than voted in 2012, which to me is astounding.
Yeah.
That means that, you know, they stayed home in a contested election. So when you have Taylor Swift say, go out and register, and 10,000 people go out and do it, I guarantee you that 9,990 of those folks are not going to vote. So, you know, but I do encourage people, get out and vote. I don't care how you vote. I don't. But
just
you have
it.
To participate.
Make your voice heard.
Yep.
So now I know you want to mention New Horizons.
Yeah, I do. Before we go, I really do want to mention New Horizons mission has a phase two. For those of you who may not remember, and if you don't remember, shame on you. New Horizons was the mission to Pluto and gave us a planet with a heart on it. And it's moon Charon, and discovered two other moons and four, so now five moons orbiting Pluto, and just a remarkable, dynamic, amazing place that no one expected. Well, except for I'm trying to think me, because I saw the Hubble images from years before, and just the colors. I mean, obviously, it's highly pixelated, but you could tell this was going to be something really fascinating, and just seeing something different, something new, you know. And it wasn't just some dead planet like Mercury or like our own moon, a dead rock. It was a vibrant, phenomenal place where, you know, carbon is snow, and they have ice mountains taller than the Rockies, and they have glaciers. I mean, it's just a remarkable thing that they discovered. And Alan Stern, of course, is the principal investigator, and for all, you know, full disclosure, has become a friend over time. But I've had him in the strip long before I ever met him. Well, phase two is they're going by, it's MU69, and Ultima Thule is the, it, they can't name it until they see it. So some such rule like that. I'm sure I'm going to get hell from Alan for not getting this right, but that's the temporary name they've given to it. They don't know what it is. It's darker than Pluto. It's over a billion miles further away than Pluto. It's darker. It's dark red. They have no idea why. They're doing occultation tests, which means it goes in front of stars and they gauge the light, and so they can kind of figure out what it is. They still don't know. They think it could be either figure eight shaped, it could be two bodies that orbit each other, or it could be one body with a very dense debris cloud around it. They don't know. This is what exploration is all about, and you can tell from my voice, I'm super stoked about this.
He's a beast.
I'm a space geek. Well, I'm a space geek because this is true exploration in its best, rawest form. We don't know what we're going to see. We're like those people when they came down the trees and the plains of Africa, and they looked at a hill and they said, what's over on that side? And they went and they looked, and they looked at an ocean. I said, well, I wonder what's on the other side of that. And they went and they looked, and this is that same thing. And maybe that's my direct lineage to those guys, because this is going to be phenomenal. And it's going to be January 1st of 2019. So it's coming up quick. And it's just exciting. So I'm going to start talking about it more and more in the strip, and hopefully gin up even more excitement, because I think this is going to be just as interesting as the flyby of Pluto. It doesn't have quite the same mythology. I mean, obviously, we didn't grow up with, you know, MU69.
No, never discussed that at all.
Almost never.
In our little solar system models.
Yeah, which we have a solar system in our home, and it has Pluto in it, because you know what, folks? Pluto's a planet.
Well, let's leave on this. You did your strip on the wonders of the universe, and Martin said, "This is why I went into scientific research as a career. Every day there is a new wonder to be seen, explored, and hopefully understood."
Oh, well, I'm going to leave on that, because that's beautiful. It really is. Thank you, Janine.
Thank Martins.
Well, thank Martins, and thank you, Janine.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Brian Altimer, our wonderful producer, and WGN and WGN Plus for hosting us. And especially thank you to you for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly Sea Podcast. If you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen and Winslow, feel free to do so by going to gocomics.com/Prickly City. That's gocomics.com/Prickly City. And you can even register and get like free emails of all your favorite comic strips, including Prickly City. And you can click the little heart thing next to Prickly City, and you can leave a comment. And if you leave a comment, maybe we'll read it here on the podcast. And if you want to contact us directly, we'd love to hear from you. Just write to us at pricklycity@gmail.com. That's pricklycity@gmail.com. I think that about covers everything. So you're nodding your head.
Yes.
That's not good.
Because I didn't think I had to say anything. But yes, let's go.
On that, until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.